T. Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Here's what 2025 sounds like. At least in Auckland, New Zealand, where the new year has already arrived, celebrations and fireworks as the clock struck midnight. Here at home, a massive security presence in New York's Times Square ahead of the ball drop. A U.S. team of investigators has arrived in South Korea to assist in the investigation of the Jeju Airlines crash that left 179 dead. Pilot and ABC News contributor John Nance says the investigation will take time.
As a matter of fact, I wouldn't be surprised to see a final report take a year. By the same token, we will know very rapidly what some of the major factors were.
Respiratory illnesses like COVID-19, flu, and RSV are surging nationwide, with New Hampshire seeing very high activity, according to the CDC. Vaccination rates across the country remain low. President-elect Trump expressing strong support for House Speaker Mike Johnson, keeping his leadership job, praising him as a good, hardworking, religious man. This is ABC News. Israel this morning saying it intercepted a missile fired by Houthi rebels in Yemen, prompting warning sirens last night in Tel Aviv. The FBI warning celebrities about rings of thieves targeting the rich and famous. ABC's Trevor Ault.
Dallas Maverick star Luka Doncic, the latest in the growing list of victims.
Fire! Fire!
Thieves reportedly making off with $30,000 worth of jewelry. His rep telling ESPN no one was home at the time, and thankfully Luka and his family are safe. The FBI says organized theft groups from South America target athletes' homes due to the perception they may have high-end goods like designer handbags, jewelry, watches, and cash, often tracking potential victims using social media.
And several pro leagues urging players to beef up their home security. And the FDA set to start testing cheese made with raw milk for bird flu. Federal officials are considering labeling unpasteurized cheeses as high-risk choices. Dave Packer, ABC News.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. As 2024 comes to a close, we're taking our annual look back at the year that was, recapping our most read, most listened to, and most impactful stories of the year. If you're new to learning about the recombobulation area, this would be a great place to start to see what we're all about. This year, we covered the RNC in Milwaukee and the DNC in Chicago and broke stories that made national news along the way. We wrote about the fight for fair maps and covered elections in the state legislature like no one else. I wrote opinion columns and feature stories and conducted extended sit-down interviews like one with Senator Tammy Baldwin. I hosted podcasts and radio shows and, of course, joined the Civic Media Network, where you've heard me all over the airwaves for the last few months. This last year was discombobulating at times, but we did our best to make sense of it all, and we've got a whole lot more recombobulation in store for the year ahead in 2025.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
The Packers dealing with injuries. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers reviewed their loss to the Vikings and had injured players check in. Backup safety Zane Anderson going through the concussion protocol. Rookie safety Evan Williams with a quad injury. Jair Alexander has been trying to return after suffering a torn PCL in his right knee in October. Will he be back in time for the playoffs? Packers head coach Matt LaFleur.
I don't know. As soon as I know, I'll let you guys know.
Is there a difference of opinion between what he thinks his health is and what you guys think it is?
Yeah, I can't really get into all that. I do know that he's been dealing with swelling, and, you know, he doesn't feel right to go out there and play.
The Packers will host the Bears this Sunday at noon. Green Bay will likely end up the 6th or 7th seed and face the Eagles, the Rams, or maybe the Buccaneers on the road in the wild card round of the playoffs. NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks playing the Chicago Bulls at the United Center today. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. People seem to notice the variety of well-reviewed films playing at the box office currently and headed to the big screen over the weekend. Sonic the Hedgehog Part 3 took the top spot at the gate with $38 million and is currently at $137 million in its first 2 weeks in theaters. The Lion King's Mufasa took a close second place with $37 million and change in its second week and is showing some good word of mouth as it is actually outperforming its haul from last week. People also wanted a little horror over their holiday as newcomer Nosferatu, which opened on Christmas Day, surprised prognosticators by pulling in $40 million over 5 days and $21 million over the weekend. Wicked and Moana 2 rounded out the top five, with Wicked pulling in $19.5 million, and Moana 2 pulling in just over $18 million. Also opening on Christmas Day was the new Bob Dylan biopic, A Complete Unknown, which pulled in $23 million over 5 days and finished in sixth place last weekend with $11.6 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
We have a little more fog out there this morning. Could be frosty, too, with temperatures below the freezing mark. And then it's going to be cloudy all day with a high in the mid to upper 20s this afternoon. Tonight, cloudy, breezy, 16. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy and a bit breezy with a high of only 19. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 26.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, we'll review the strikes and gutters, the ups and downs, and the good and bad of 2024. Plus, how much use are those New Year's resolutions worth anyway? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Good morning and welcome to Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Dr. Kristen Lyerly here with Greg Bach, and together we are Bach and the Doc. That's never going to get old for me.
I love it.
We're sitting in for Pat Kreitlow this morning, who is catching up on some grandpa love, but he will be back on Thursday. So thank you all for tuning in this morning. It's 6:06 on New Year's Eve. We made it.
Oh, man. I feel like we should have like a, just there should be a. There we go. We did it.
Fireworks. Applause.
Woo.
What a year.
Oh,
you
my
know,
gosh.
Sometimes I love New Year's Eve.
Really?
I do.
Oh.
I love it because I love all the retrospective stuff. And that's what we're going to do today on the show. We're going to look back at 2024, the news, the entertainment, the trends, all of that. We've got some special guests joining us. We would love to hear from you. Call us, text us, call us at 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. You can text us on the Civic Media app. You can make a comment on the live stream, because this is really about, and this is the reason that I love it so much, it's about having this shared experience together and looking back and saying, oh, yeah, that happened.
Yeah. People are saying, like, oh, remember when that movie came out? I'm like, oh, that movie came out this year? I thought that movie came out 12 years ago. Because 2024, I feel like, and much like 2020 felt like, I don't know, 3-4 years packed into 365 days. Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, was it 366 this year? Was this a leap year?
I think so.
That's why we had an extra day. That's why it felt like so much happened.
Right. A lot of stuff does happen in a day.
Yeah.
But sometimes it does. I mean, look at some of the things that happened in politics and news. And of course, the first big thing is politics. Like, look what happened with the presidential race.
Yeah.
When you go back, we were just living it and everything was happening so fast. But, you know, we got our nominees. It was Biden versus Trump. And then there were the assassination attempts. And then Biden stepped down and Harris stepped up. And all of this stuff was like, you know, I'm 55 years old. I've seen a lot of presidential campaigns. Mm-hmm. This one was special.
This one was the most tumultuous. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, like, even, and we, like, there was Bush v. Gore. Even that, like, with all of its craziness, with all the hanging chads and all the hullabaloo in Florida, there was still a sense of gentlemanly, like, you know, procedure in what they were doing. And then finally this Supreme Court steps in and says it's over. But with this, it's all over the place. Like, everything's happening and there's so much going on, and every day it seems like this man is just trying to say one more thing more offensive than the last to make you think, oh, well, he's never going to get elected. And then all of a sudden on Wednesday morning, you're thinking to yourself, well, that was a thing that happened. Great.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and even the pressure, you know, as from the time that Joe Biden had such a poor debate performance until the time that he stepped back and Harris stepped up, and all of the pressure from George Clooney and the donors and how that just all changed, we didn't know. we're just, you know, eating our popcorn, watching and thinking it's just the future of our country. So just let us know.
Well, I also just like, I didn't like these celebrities coming forth saying he's got to step down. He's got to step down. I'm like, I'm sorry, but can you mind your business? I mean, I know you're an American. I know you have a right to an opinion, but like, I don't feel like he should step down because George Clooney said so, or because whomever. Like, I feel like it should have, like, I hopefully what it was a real conversation between he and his wife and Kamala Harris saying this is what needs to happen. But it just, I don't know, when he stepped down, you could tell this is not what he wanted. And they'll be looking at this campaign for a very long time. They'll be looking at, like, the fact that it was, what, 101 days she got?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, ran an amazing campaign, raised so much money, but just, I mean, what we didn't take into consideration that people, I guess, they like him, and I can't figure out why. I really can't.
Yeah, it's just one of those reminders that it helps you remember that different people like different things. Everybody doesn't think the way that you think.
No.
You know, and I always fall back into that trap. Like, I like this, so I'm sure everybody else does too.
Yeah.
But that is not actually how life works.
No, ever. No. And it was said to us quite clearly. I mean, that's the weird thing too, is like, I have to also remember it wasn't a mandate. He has not gotten 50% of the vote. He has not landslided anything, even regardless of what he says. It was a very close election by the popular vote, I should say, and there wasn't as much energy as I expected there to be, from what it seemed like, because we're in a bubble. We have the energy all around us. There are people, you know, you are running, you're going to rallies, you're doing these things, you're shaking hands, you got all the excitement, and we're sitting here talking to amazing people on the shows. And you're like, well, yeah, this just feels like a foregone conclusion. Don't want to get cocky, but like, we need new energy, new life. We need a younger thing here. And then Wednesday morning, you're like, oh, maybe, okay, I guess. I guess I was wrong.
Changing plans.
Yep.
We're going to do it differently. But, you know, moving on to something that's related.
Yeah.
But look at what's happening all across the world and some of the political unrest that we've seen in 2024. People who were pushing back Navalny in Russia, who was imprisoned and, of course, you know, murdered for his activism. Look at did you see the videos of the haka in the New Zealand parliament?
Oh, yes. I can watch haka videos all day long. I don't care if they're on the rugby pitch. I don't care if they're in the well of the parliament. I don't care if they're in schools. I love watching a wonderful haka video. And if you don't know what we're talking about, this is, I want to pronounce it correctly, the Mora tribe?
Maori tribe. Maori.
Thank you for correcting me. My apologies. They are a indigenous tribe in New Zealand, and they have this amazing ceremony. Whether it's from everything to declaring war to honoring the dead, it's a beautiful thing. It's beautiful to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they were in Parliament, and there was a disagreement, and they have a very strong presence there. I mean, they are, I want to say, maybe the majority of folks in New Zealand. Like the Maori are not a small number of people, and this one member of parliament ripped up her paper and started this haka, and people all over the body started joining in. And it's like a dance and a chant, and it was so powerful. And every time I watched it, I thought, oh yeah, that's unity. And that's coming together to express what's in my heart and what we need people to see and to understand.
The woman's name, she's an MP. Hana Rahiti Karaki Maipa Clark. Now, I know I pronounced some of that incorrectly, but I just...
But you tried.
I'd rather pronounce it incorrectly and still give her the credit and the love because she has been a force in the New Zealand Parliament since she walked through the door.
Mm-hmm. She's like their AOC.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's been wonderful to watch.
And, you know, another place where we saw pushing back was, of course, the assassination of the United Healthcare CEO and the response.
Yeah.
The assassination was one thing, but to see the American people respond in the way that they did, and Luigi has become this kind of folk hero almost. Yeah. It really expresses the exasperation and the frustration that Americans have with our healthcare system.
Yeah, and that's I think we've talked about this on Matt and Air on Air. You know, I'm not for the death of anybody, and I understand why people could be cheering or excited or happy, but the question I ask is, did the killing of another human being solve healthcare at all? And I know that makes some of my friends go, what are you talking about? I'm like, well, I don't know. It just feels like there's no doubt we have to fix this. It has to be fixed. But the murdering of another human being, that doesn't sit. I guess the cheering of it, that's what doesn't sit right with me. That's the thing for me that just is like, I personally can't do that.
This is a pattern, though. When you see people standing up and trying to have their voices heard and they're constantly being pushed back and things just continue to get worse. And let's face it, our healthcare system is so fundamentally broken.
Yeah.
The number of prior authorizations that are denied and the healthcare services that people, the medications, you name it, people are just not getting care. And our outcomes reflect that. People die in this country at rates greater than any other civilized country, and we pay more than anybody. So I get the frustration.
Yes, absolutely.
And when people don't have an outlet, this is what you see. These are the protests. These are the riots. When they don't see any other way, this is what you see.
Yeah.
So I get it on that, like, on that macro level. But on the other hand, yeah, you're absolutely right. This is a man with a family who is doing his job.
Yeah.
And that's never okay. Violence is never okay.
No, it is not. And I think, like, it'd be one thing if had it happened and we come together and done something. But, like, when I see memes about, like, how hot he is, I'm like, well, we're really missing the message here, people, I think. It's not about his abs. It's about why he may have done it. And let's talk about that a little bit more, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Yeah, a couple other things.
Yeah.
The Summer Olympics, that happened this year. Do you remember?
I watched the Summer Olympics. Are you proud of me? I watched. Yeah. I had to watch French heavy metal in the Summer Olympics. How cool is that?
What?
French heavy metal? Yeah. So there's a band called Gojira. I always pronounce it incorrectly. I think it's Gojira. They're a French metal band, and they performed at the opening ceremony.
Oh,
yeah.
With Celine Dion?
No, not with her. Okay, let's not be mean. All right, let's be respectful of a French.
But wasn't she in the opening ceremony?
She was, but she was at the way end, and like she was like the spectacle. But like, they were out during the day.
Oh my gosh. Maybe you can pull up some Gojira for our next break.
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh. Well, there's lots more to come. We've got Wisconsin news. We've got trends. We've got entertainment. So stick with us. We've got a short break now. And when we return, I have this feeling that Greg is going to share his resolutions. And we invite you to share yours. This is Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. Then we lie beneath a shady
tree. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family. Because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jane, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Well, hello. Welcome back to Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. I am Dr. Kristen Lyerly here with Greg Bach. We are Bach and the Doc filling in for Pat Kreitlow, who will be back on Thursday. And we have a special guest joining us. He's very, very special to me, in fact. It's my oldest son, Abraham Lyerly. Abe, welcome.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for having me.
What did you think of that music?
I really enjoy. I think that might have been the best part of the Olympics for me. I'm not a big Olympics viewer, but that, I mean, just the entire opening ceremony was kind of jaw-dropping.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then all of a sudden you just see this decapitated person singing, and I'll send you the clip, doctor, and it's I'm a metalhead, and so I'm pretty sure that's Gojira, because I think they're like the only famous French metal band.
And wait, like, you knew about this band before?
Oh,
the
I know they've been around for like
a big band, yeah.
They've been around for like 2 decades. They're a big, huge metal band, and they take on things like, they talk about things like, you know, endangered animals and climate change, and they have a really deep message in their music. I know it doesn't sound like it to people, but they really talk about the things that are important to them.
Aw, that's really sweet. Yeah. You know, Abe actually is a music teacher.
Really?
And when I was pregnant with him, that was when there was this whole, you know, I'm going way back like decades now, there was this whole Mozart effect,
yeah,
where you wanted to play this music for your kids in utero so that they would grow up listening to music. And I actually used to put the headphones on my belly and play Gosha. Is that the name of the band?
No. Nope,
nope. Right? That didn't quite work.
Here we go. I want to give you a nice applause for the attempt. There you are.
Fine. All right. Well, moving on, why don't we talk a little bit about Wisconsin in 2024, some of the things that hit really close to home. And I want to start with Top Chef Milwaukee guys, right? Dan Jacobs?
Yep.
Yeah.
Luke Mathers will love hearing me say this. He'll love hearing me say this. A chef testant, which is a word I loathe, but you know, I said it, chef testant. You're welcome.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Did you watch it? Did you like it?
It fills me with regret because I knew it was here and I was so excited about it all summer long, and then the summer disappeared. Mm-hmm. There were other things happening.
Yeah.
I haven't even gotten around to watching it yet.
I didn't watch it simply because Pat and Luke did, and I had to be their foil every week.
Oh, right. Yeah, Luke was really into it.
Oh, God, he's so into it.
Yeah, he's a Top Chef guy for every season.
Yeah, absolutely. Nope, Tony on the live stream knows how much I love it. Chef testant.
Right. You know, Dan Jacobs tried out 13 times.
Really?
Before he made it. Yes. And then when he made it, they did this whole Wisco series. So everything was shot in Wisconsin. And of course, Dan made it to the top three, which is a wonderful achievement.
That's fantastic. And Dan, the restaurant he owns in Milwaukee, is so good. It's such a good restaurant. Yeah.
I have not been there, but that's all part of the Christmas present that that I offered Abe last year before my life got derailed by running for Congress. We're going to go to the Laughing Tap. We're going to go to Dan. We're having a whole Milwaukee thing.
There you go. I love it. Come to Milwaukee. Welcome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So many good things to do down here.
Yes.
So many. And you
also 50 degrees for some reason. I don't know what's happening.
Oh, Abe, I can tell you what's that. The earth is on fire.
Listen, it's terrifying. I'll take the walk while I can get it, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, also in Milwaukee earlier this year, there was this big party called the Republican National Convention.
Oh, that was a terrible time to be in Milwaukee. Greg, I don't know where you are in Milwaukee. What neighborhoods are you around?
Well, I live in Kenosha, but we were in Milwaukee doing broadcasting. We were broadcasting from a building like just outside the security zone. Mm-hmm. And to call it a party, Dr. Lyerly, I think is being very, very, very generous. It was what I would say was just boring. It was there was no spectacle to it. There was the ear bandages were odd. The choices of their celebrity guests were like oh, cool, Kit Rock is here. Great.
It felt like a cult moved into town. There's one group of people having a great time, and everyone else is just like very wary.
Yeah.
Like, we're not going outside for a week. It was a very strange time. And Summerfest was happening at the same time as well.
Oh, that's right.
It was a really weird... really weird mix of people in the city for a little bit.
And it felt like the city of Milwaukee was ramming this down our throats. Like, it's going to be great. You're going to have a great time. The businesses are going to be thriving. And as I said yesterday, we went to a big restaurant on Water Street at lunchtime, day two, and there was barely anyone in there. There's like 10 people in there.
People weren't leaving the security perimeter.
No.
The people that are afraid of big cities, as it turns out, do not walk around big cities and patronize the businesses.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what a party.
What a party. Well, and you know, in Milwaukee sports news, remember how amazing the Brewers were last season?
Yeah.
They won the NLC, and then they lost the wild card series to the Mets in three games. Boom, 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 done.
Isn't that what we're used to in Milwaukee?
Because the Bucks did the same thing. Dame and Giannis were both hurt, and boom, boom, boom. That was it.
Oh, God.
But up here in Green Bay, the Packers unexpectedly went to the playoffs, and they won the wild card game against the Cowboys. And they didn't just win it. It was a beautiful thing to watch.
It was theirs to take.
Oh, man. Yes. But then they lost to the 49ers, which is not going to happen this year. So one less thing to
worry about. It's our year. 49ers are out. It's got to be our year.
And this is just a reminder that the New York Jets are 4-12. All right. What else happened this year?
Oh, did you see yesterday?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, God. Yeah.
No. It was very fun.
You know, some really hard things happened this year. I experienced some terrible murders in the state. Elijah Vu, Sharday Robinson, of course, the Abundant Life Christian school shooting, a school shooting right in our own backyard. The University of Wisconsin underwent this terrible upheaval with enrollment being down, branch campuses closing. Some really hard things happened, but some really amazing things happen too.
Yeah.
And as we inch in to our next break, I want to talk about some of the fantastic things that happened. And then Abe, I want to tap into Gen Z.
All right. I'm here. Weird way to put it, but I'm here.
I know. We don't usually get to talk with Gen Z folks. So, you know, like what's going on in your generation, son?
We need to talk to a resident young person.
So stay tuned. We've got a break here on the horizon. We'll be back in a couple minutes. This is Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Tuesday morning. U.S. agriculture is bracing for a potential work stoppage at East and Gulf Coast ports. Contract negotiations between the International Longshoremen's Association and the U.S. Maritime Alliance broke down in mid-November. The two sides had reached a tentative agreement on wages, but that contract extension is set to expire January 15th. The uncertainty is already impacting U.S. red meat exports. This is according to the U.S. Meat Export Federation President and CEO, Dan Hallstrom.
We've known that this date of January 15th now for several months. So while that's the final date, the trade is already reacting. We already have exporters, I'm sure, diverting cargo or planning to divert cargo. Ocean carriers are anticipating that. So we already have surcharges in place, and probably there will be more in place between now and the 15th of January. And a lot of our cargo is refrigerated. So there's also the very real possibility that prior to January 15th, a lot of these ports may stop accepting refrigerated cargo just because of the uncertainty around the contract.
About $100 million of U.S. red meat is shipped out of the affected ports on a weekly basis. U.S. Meat Export Federation President and CEO Dan Hallstrom joining us. We'll take a look at your morning markets next.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
Attend Dairy Strong and help celebrate the Dairy Business Association's 25th anniversary with a special reception the evening of January 16th in Green Bay. Dairy Strong is a must-attend event for everyone in dairy, bringing together forward-thinking farmers and ag professionals to tackle the most significant issues today. The conference January 15th and 16th is filled with innovation, collaboration, and excitement, wrapping up with the reception January 16th. Register at dairystrong.org.
From Chicago, commodity prices are seeing support ahead of the new year. 2025 new crop corn is up a penny and a quarter at $4.40 and a quarter. 2025 new crop soybeans are up 3 1/4 cents, trading at $10.11 and a half. And July new crop wheat is up a penny at $5.67 and a quarter. The January Class 3 milk contract is trading up 2 cents at $20.45 a hundredweight. And the February contract is up 8 cents, trading at $20.75. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff. Happy New Year's Eve.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
We have a little more fog out there this morning. Could be frosty, too, with temperatures below the freezing mark. And then it's going to be cloudy all day with a high in the mid to upper 20s this afternoon. Tonight, cloudy, breezy, 16. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy and a bit breezy with a high of only 19. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 26.
The Dom Salvia Show.
How about this one? Harvey Kay, a Delano Democrat.
The problem with that is that was his mother's family name. You might not realize that he had a father, too.
Come on, man.
Subscribe to my arguments, and you can call a Dom Democrat.
All right, I'll take a Dom Democrat. But Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a big favorite here on this show.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family. Because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we run through some of our favorite This Shouldn't Be a Things. Also, we talk the wonderful world of weddings coming up. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 11.
Welcome back to Civic Media Mornings on Civic Media Radio Network. I am Dr. Kristen Lierley, here with Greg Bach. We are Bach and the Doc, and we have a special guest, Abe, joining us. And the three of us are filling in for Pat Kreitlow, who's going to be back on Thursday. Greg, you love picking up the bumper music, don't you?
I do.
It's good stuff.
You've got
a taste for it.
Thank you very much. I love the U2. It's a good band. They're a good band. They're going places. They're from Iranland. That's a good country.
Those guys.
But it's New Year's Eve.
Yes.
Not New Year's Day.
You know what? You want to do the bumper music? You can. Wow.
Is there a New Year's Eve Icky. Song?
Yeah, it's called "Auld Lang Syne." It's terrible.
How does it compare to "Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas Time"?
Oh, nothing compares to that song. Let's see, songs about New Year's Eve.
Oh my gosh! So it's New Year's Eve. Here we are on the precipice.
Oh look! I looked up songs about New Year's Eve. What's on the list? "New Year's Day" by U2.
Yeah. You're a savant.
What can I say?
Okay, well, tomorrow is New Year's Day, which makes today New Year's Eve.
Correct.
So here's my question for you, Abe, our Gen Z consultant. What about 2024?
You can't be called a consultant unless someone's paying me. All right.
You are not getting paid, but I will feed you because you are my child. But what really stood out for you in 2024?
There was a lot, and I think you guys talked about this earlier in the segment, but the entire year of 2024 has almost felt like a sequel of 2020. Significantly better in so many ways, you know, not having a pandemic hanging over your head does wonders for the mental health.
Yeah.
But I feel like we're having a lot of the same arguments we had in 2020. I feel like, I mean, even just the media we're consuming, it feels like we're living off of sequels from 2020. Looking at the top 10 grossing movies of the year, 9 of them are sequels, and then the last one, number 10, is Wicked, which is a prequel. I feel like we're so stuck in stuff that we've talked about before, and it's coming up in new ways, and it's not necessarily pleasant every time it comes up.
And even 4 years ago, the way we consumed media was so different, because 4 years ago we had Twitter. Now
it's so weird. I mean, go back 10 years and the way that the internet behaved was entirely different.
Oh,
it's,
yeah. Yes, absolutely.
I'm very nostalgic for those sort of Wild West, but not fully exploited.
I was scrolling across Instagram Reels because, you know, I'm cool. And
I'm also addicted, but we can say cool if we need to say cool.
But I came across a collection of Vines. And for folks who don't know what Vines is, it was like this prototype social media thing where you made a 7-second video, and they were usually really funny. Can you stuff into 7 seconds? And you watch them now and you're like, we were so cute then. We were so innocent just trying to have 7 seconds of fun. Now it's like, how much hate can I jam into a 3-minute video? How much disinformation can I get in your face? Back then it was like, hey, look at
they didn't have a message back then. It was road work ahead, sure, hope it does, and then, you know, the information's in and out your brain.
Yeah.
Just a quick laugh. Now there's moralizing going on in 30-second videos, and it's become too much of a primary source of information instead of do you see what's happening over there on the perimeter?
Yeah.
I believe they call that brain rot.
I teach middle school students. I know what's coming up before you guys do. You're not ready for crashing out. You're not ready for any of this.
Now, Abe, how old are you?
I'm 25 years old.
So 2024, I have my opinions as a mid to late 40s guy. Your mom has her opinions as an amazing doctor. Most of the people here I work with are in around my age or maybe a little bit younger. But as a 25-year-old, what was the presidential election like for you to witness?
That's a good question. I think, first of all, my experience is not necessarily representative of all of Gen Z, and it's certainly not representative of all of Gen Z. Having a parent who is engaged in it and having a history, as I ran her campaign back in 2020, there's a lot of intermingling that happens there, and a lot of work that I did with the campaign. So
not everyone is as hands-on, or certainly, I don't mean to be like, oh, I'm so informed, but you know, I follow the news quite a bit.
Yeah.
And most people that I talk to that are in my age group do not. I mean, there's a almost willful resistance to being shown news or anything from the mainstream media. Everything that they learn about the current event, and this is a huge generalization, but a lot of how people are getting information these days is sort of passively absorbing it through social media. You see your friend's take on something, you see a take on TikTok, and you slowly build this sort of spider web of often incorrect information with embellishments here, embellishments there, and it sort of comes together into a not quite complete picture. But the presidential election this year, there was a lot that felt very different from 2020.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The information environment felt just horrible. Just getting factual information out and having people catch that information and process it and work with that information felt near impossible. Reaching people who had, you know, drawn their line in the sand and said, I do not want you to knock my door. I don't want you to call me. I will not get information from you.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw away. I'm going to burn whatever you give me. Like, when the job of a campaign and the job of politicians and politics in general is to talk to people and get their takes on this, it gets really, really hard when there's a lot of willful resistance. And I understand where that's coming from. It's exhausting. This has been an exhausting year.
But it's not just politics. It's everything. And it's the algorithm. Mm. You know, whatever you are watching, I mean, pay attention to what you linger on, and maybe even do this experiment when you're looking at reels. Linger on something that you otherwise wouldn't linger on, like supplements or whatever, and see what starts to show up in your feed, because it subconsciously continues to feed you what you want to see instead of what you need to see. And I think that's a huge problem for us right now. And that's what Donald Trump really taps into, this, like, I want to give you more candy, even though you need to eat your vegetables.
You know,
absolutely.
That there's two, both of you just said amazing things. The candy reference is so amazing because, a friend of mine who is, I think he retired. He's a DC lobbyist. And he was talking about the Feingold Johnson debates, the first round when Feingold ran against Johnson. And Feingold gave this, would give answers in the debate. And he said, it's like watching someone tell you how to make a souffle. He would tell you about the ingredients. He would tell you about how to shop for them. He'd tell you about how to prepare them. He'd tell you about how to prepare the souffle. He'd get you from A to B to C to D all the way down. And Ron Johnson held out his hand and said, I've got a piece of candy. Do you like candy? I got candy. Uh-huh. And that's what people, and then coupled with what you said, Abe, and I don't think it's a Gen Z thing either. I think it's intergenerational, where it is a...
Oh, absolutely.
And we talk about this too. People are busy. They don't have time to consume the media like we do and consume the news. It's our jobs to do that. And so the fact that they're they might be a little hands-off or like, okay, whatever. That's also a thing too, where you're just like, well, Donald Trump seems fine. He seems fun. He's weird, but, you know, I'll vote for him. That's cool.
And the well has been so poisoned at this point. If you decide, if you set out and you say, I'm going to become a more informed person this year, where do you look?
Yeah.
I mean, I have Fox News and I have the AP and I have the BBC and I check all of them and they contradict each other.
Yeah.
They're fighting each other often. And it's reading through, it's these small little, it's very tricky language about, it's just what they choose to cover and what they choose not to cover. And it's really hard to break through and figure out what is factual, especially if you don't come to it with a trust of the mainstream media right out the gate.
Yeah.
If you're open to things like Breitbart and OAN and Newsmax, and those are the standards that you're used to, I mean, it's hard to look at mainstream media and be like, this is where I need to go. This obviously makes sense.
It's the psychology of it too.
Yeah.
You don't realize, unless you actually stop and think, what am I watching? And what is its effect on how I synthesize information and how I behave? We don't stop and do that. Even those of us who are consuming a lot of media and who really are paying attention, and they know that. And they use very intentional words to lead us down a path to not necessarily trick us, but it is, it's manipulative, and it does trick us into having a certain set of beliefs, living in a certain rabbit hole. And that's where we really need to come back together. We talked about this with Emily Cephalos yesterday. It, as folks who are neighbors in locations, like local regions, who have shared values and shared needs. Like, we need school districts that work for us. Mm-hmm. We need our roads to be fixed and our sewers to work and to have the services, grocery stores and gas stations and things like that in our neighborhoods. And it all comes down to people having conversations with each other, getting their reactions, actually seeing when you say something to someone, seeing with the look on their face and their body language. That's such an important way to communicate. We don't get any of that when we're just staring at a screen, listening to and consuming information.
Well, and I think also when people set out and they say, I'm going to become a more informed person, a lot of that, I mean, a lot of that just means I'm going to gather more information.
Yeah.
Media literacy is so interesting to talk to people about, because everyone has their own take at this point on what makes a reputable source. And often it's wrong on both sides. The amount of times, like right after Biden's debate performance, the amount of times I'd get sent like Hill articles, and it's pure speculation all over the board. I'm like, I don't want to read this. This is a waste of time. That is words on a page in an official looking format. You are right. It doesn't say anything. It doesn't mean anything. You're supposed to look at the headline and draw a conclusion from it. Mm-hmm. But a lot of what I've seen has just been gathering information as much as you can, almost like a squirrel putting or a chipmunk just like gathering nuts as much as they can, and without really checking to see what that means. And it's impossible. The amount of information that comes at you. I mean, if you're swiping through Facebook Reels, you're not checking these things. Yeah. I mean, it happens to all of us. Well, you'll see something and you'll be like, that aligns with something I already believe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You just give it a pass.
I like it.
You like it. And in this age of AI video and AI text, where it's, I mean, have you guys seen the Notebook LM stuff?
No.
No.
Or has anyone done their Spotify Wrapped yet?
Yes. No. I do Apple.
I don't do the Spotify. I have a YouTube Music because I'm awesome.
That's fair. Hey, I'm not trashing anything. Spotify's a pretty crummy company. But they did something where they took their Wrapped and they have Google LM, which is a sort of like a Google Drive where you drop PDFs in, and then their AI model looks at everything inside, and then you can ask the model questions and it will analyze, you know, hundreds of pages of PDFs and give you succinct answers. And it's really cool. And one of the coolest features it has is it will create a podcast with two hosts bantering about the stuff that you – I know, and it's
good. Are
you
kidding me?
It's really – your jobs are gone. Your jobs are gone. But it's really cool, and they put the Spotify Wrapped information in, and you get a little five-minute podcast where they're like, wow, what were you listening to? I really think you were feeling yourself on this drive.
Oh, yeah, Abe, can and you find a podcast that does this? No. Employed. I think, you know, and like that's I feel like also to say I'm become more media literate, more news literate, is also just like saying I'm going to start going to the gym. It's hard work.
It is.
It's devastating work, because you're like, when you start finding out what's going on in the world, it can really turn you. I mean, it doesn't fill
your bucket.
It's like the first time you go to the gym, you like get on the treadmill, you're like, oh, this is going to be great. You're like, I just want to die right now. Like, why am I even doing this?
But you can't even follow that, because after a while you go to the gym, you're like, this is good. Eventually it starts to fill your bucket. Oftentimes the news will just slap you down and ruin your day. There's nothing you can do about that.
Tony on the live stream
says, I'm having a great day. And there goes Jimmy. Oh, God.
That LLM won't play French metal. That's right, Tony. It won't.
They're getting good at that. No, it's actually even scarier. This is one of my big fears for 2025 is AI art and music has gotten so good. It's borderline indistinguishable.
Yeah.
Spotify is filling up playlists with their own generated AI music, so they don't have to share royalties with creators. We're heading this really weird direction with it. Sorry, I'm sidetracking the conversation.
No, I mean, it's...
No. It's perfect. And actually, it segues really nicely as we're approaching this break, because guess what we're going to do after we come back?
What?
We're going to talk about today's history lesson.
Oh, boy.
On this day in history, we're going to revisit music. It's going to be delightful. And Abe, you're going to stick around and do it with us, huh?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Perfect.
Happy to be here.
I'll be quiet on New Year's Eve day. We'll see you in a couple minutes.
You
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Facing an energy crisis, high inflation, and rising unemployment, President Jimmy Carter addressed the nation in his Crisis of Confidence speech on July 15, 1979.
The erosion of our confidence in the future is threatening to destroy the social and the political fabric of America. The confidence that we have always had as a people is not simply some romantic dream or a proverb in a dusty book that we read just on the 4th of July. It is the idea which founded our nation and has guided our development as a people. Confidence in the future has supported everything else, public institutions and private enterprise, our own families and the very Constitution of the United States. Confidence has defined our course and has served as a link between generations. We've always believed in something called progress. We've always had a faith that the days of our children would be better than our own. Our people are losing that faith, not only in government itself, but in the ability as citizens to serve as the ultimate rulers and shapers of our democracy.
We've linked the full speech at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beadle.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
The Monkees. Just like yesterday, what did we have? Davy Jones and Mike Nesmith's birthdays?
Same day.
And today, I'm a Believer, which is a Neil Diamond song performed by the Monkees. How can you not sing?
I know.
This is when I'm a Believer hit number one and stayed at the top of the charts for 7 weeks.
Jeez.
Welcome back, everybody. Yeah, I know it. I love the Monkees. I could leave her if I tried. I know you're singing in your head.
Oh, I always am.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You know what else happened today in 1907?
What?
The first ever ball drop in Times Square.
In 1907, it was made of like atomic metals and painted in lead.
Yeah, heavy lead. Some rats in there.
We got into an argument last night with Julian, Abe's slightly younger brother, who seems
and
to believe
incredibly
that...
more incorrect brother.
Oh,
he doesn't have his face on air, so I get to say that.
He seems to believe that there's a ball drop in every time zone across the country, and it was sad to have to explain to him that, you know, our tradition is to watch the ball drop in New York, and then, I don't know, here in the Midwest, a lot of us are like, good night, everybody. See you in 2025.
Yeah. I don't even know the last time. I mean, like, I work on New Year's Eve now, so I don't watch it. But if I wasn't working, I can't tell you the last time I watched the ball drop. I mean, and also, poor Julian, you know, we've all been there as a younger sibling where you dig your heels in something and you're like, I'm right. You're all wrong. And then it's just so patently wrong. You're like, I'm going to my room.
He always digs his heels in, and he's right about 50% of the time.
By the way, joining me.
Oh, there she is, Polly.
The one-eyed cat.
Doesn't have enough eyes. She doesn't have enough eyes, and she has too many thumbs.
Extra thumbs. She's got some problems. She's lovely, though.
Okay.
Hey, we all have special things about us.
There you go. All right. Yeah.
You know, another really cool thing about Times Square is that It is a Wisconsin company. Actually, it's a Green Bay-based company, LiveX, who covers the New Year's Rockin' Eve every year.
Oh.
Really? That's LiveX?
That's LiveX out of Green Bay.
There you go.
Yeah, pretty exciting.
Yeah. So
shout out to LiveX, folks. And, you know, Dick Clark, it was 1972 back in the day when Dick Clark started the New Year's Rockin' Eve concert on NBC. And his guests were, and this is what we're really missing, Pat, because he would be able to add so much color here, Three Dog Night and Al Green.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. I almost called to guess that one. I'm glad I didn't jump in. I would have been way off.
Oh my gosh. It's also, yeah. Sorry.
I was going to say, do we have any other birthdays on the list here?
We do. John Ooh. Denver, born in 1943.
Oh, yeah.
Aww. Is this sunshine on my shoulder?
Of course it is.
Oh, we don't get that today, though, do we?
No, I don't think so.
Give it a couple hours. It's going to get sunny.
Is it? On my shoulder. Welcome to the mellow New Year's Eve morning.
Civic Media Gold.
Also on this day in 1999, the U.S. government handed control of the Panama Canal, as well as all adjacent land to the canal, over to Panama officially. And this was...
It's a whole can of worms these days.
I know. Well, it was a can of worms. I mean, this is something that went back to Teddy Roosevelt. You know, the French tried to dig the canal. They gave up on it because so many people died of malaria. Then the Americans came in. We were able to complete it. And relations with Latin America weren't good. It became actually a point of contention during the primary in 1976. Ronald Reagan jumped all over it. It actually almost gave him the primary over Gerald Ford. But when Carter won the presidency, we're back to Jimmy Carter again. When Carter won the presidency, he handed it over to Panama, and it was finally turned over in 99.
It just seems funny. It's like, it's in 1977, the canal will be yours. Great. In 22 years.
Yeah, I know. Yep. Yeah. Also, Burton Cummings.
It's Who's his that? 70,
he's the lead Stand singer you, for the Guess Who, born in Winnipeg, Canada. Uh-huh. These Eyes.
Oh, yeah. God, this song's so good.
Abe, you know this one?
Sorry.
Oh, no, it's that's fun. You know what, Abe? This is what I tell people, especially younger people, all the time. There's so much stuff out there in the world. You not knowing this song isn't a big deal. But I would say listen to it when you get a chance. It's just so 70s.
It's so 70s.
I can hear the sort of like Roto synths. Is that a Rhodes?
That's a Rhodes, yeah. That's a Rhodes keyboard right there. Just like, and everyone had afros. Everyone had afros.
It's also Andy Summers' 82nd birthday. He, of course, is the guitarist for The Police.
Ooh,
and
nice.
The great disco diva legend, Donna Summers' birthday. She was born in 1948. Of course, we lost her in 2012. Yeah. But boy, she was the voice of an era. This was a controversial song.
Oh, yeah. Yes, it was. And Love to Love You? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Songs got dirty on the disco floor.
Oh, back in 1974, Bob Welch left Fleetwood Mac.
Yep.
And the members made an offer to Lindsey Buckingham, the guitarist, but he wouldn't come alone. He insisted on bringing his girlfriend Stevie Nicks with him, and the rest is music history.
And thus started the phase in Fleetwood Mac where people nowadays go, wait, they were around before those two? I didn't know that.
I know. Lots of incredible musicians, though, and they were able to do a lot of different stuff with all the different voices.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is that's this day in history. Are you happy? Do you like it? Does it feel historic?
I feel historic.
Uh-huh. Today feels like a history kind of day, doesn't it?
It does.
New Year. Something about it. There's something marking this one.
I think so. I think maybe, too, when we return...
Yep.
I bet we could get Greg to share his resolutions,
oh,
proving
boy.
That he is not AI.
Final.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, we lead into Civic Media's New Year's Eve celebration with Lou Regani, with highlights from my appearances on some of your favorite Civic Media shows. Happy New Year, everyone.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. The New Year's march across the globe has now reached eastern Russia. It's already 2025 in New Zealand. And here in the U.S., a million people expected to ring in 2025 in Times Square. ABC's Lionel Moyes.
The NYPD expanding the area blocked off this year in wake of the ISIS-inspired machete attack at a police checkpoint 2 years ago. Drones, bomb-sniffing dogs, and officers in plain clothes will be deployed. The police commissioner is promising a massive presence following the recent attack at a Christmas market in Germany.
In South Korea, Jeju Air CEO Kimmy Bae saying funeral preparations are underway for the 179 people who died when the airline 737-800 crash landed on Sunday. An American NTSB team of experts has arrived in South Korea to assist in the investigation into the crash. Respiratory illnesses like COVID-19, flu, and RSV are surging nationwide. New Hampshire seeing high activity. This is ABC News.